IVM.
Folks, welcome to Paisa Paisa. I'm your host Anupam Gupta, BBP on Twitter, and this is the Retirement Readiness Special. Yes, retirement is a very, very important topic, and I've covered it in the past as well. But today, I'm putting this out as a bonus episode because my guest has done a very interesting survey that I thought should go straight out of the press. And this is pretty large brand of mutual fund that we've got today on the show. So my guest today, Ajit Panin, CEO of PGIM Mutual Fund, pronounced as PGIM. PGIM is the global investment management business of Prudential Financial. And PGIM India did a retirement survey with some very, very interesting findings. We're going to talk about all of that in this episode. And you realize why I put this as a bonus episode that I think you guys should listen to straight off. So, Ajit, welcome to Paisa Paisa. Thank you so much for doing this for our listeners. I want you to give us a very brief introduction to PGIM Mutual Fund in India, taking a step back as to its genesis, its history. You know, when I heard of PGIM and I heard that it's part of Prudential Financial, I was like, huh, there's Prudential there's another Prudential. So tell us all about it.
Thank you, Anupam. Pleasure to be on your show and a warm welcome to all your listeners. Yes, Prudentials, there are two Prudentials in India. One, the one that you mentioned, ICICI Prudential, very well known. We, as PGIM, is Prudential Global Investment Managers, part of Prudential, as you mentioned, of the US. It is the 10th largest asset manager in the world, and therefore, technically, it is the largest multinational brand in mutual fund in India currently. It manages about $1.89 trillion of assets, within which the asset management business manages about $1.4 trillion. It's also one of the largest asset managers for pensions in the world, and therefore this whole association with retirement, and I'm glad that PGIM India could come up with our own retirement survey for Indians.
Lovely. I'm going to bask in some reflected glory there because I've never had a $1 trillion mutual fund on my show. The logos are different, right? I mean, we should go for the logo. So that Prudential has, I think, something else, and yours has something else.
That is true. We have the Rock of Gibraltar. That is our logo. It is, you know, internationally, Anupam, PGIM is known as the investment world's best kept secret. It's not, it doesn't advertise itself too much. The PGIM brand itself came up in 2016. And, you know, so we've been doing a, you know, job of promoting the brand in India as well.
Lovely. So let's get into it, Ajit. Tell us about the key findings, okay? And just go in whatever order you want. I thought I'd really start with the priorities, right? But I wanted to start with a brief background about A, what this survey was about. And then you can introduce a survey and then let's start with the priorities. Because, you know, there is a meme on social media called Head Explode. And I think that's what happened to me when I kind of saw the findings. First, background of the survey and then the order of priorities.
Sure. I think, you know, very quickly on the background of the survey, you know, I've been also personally very passionate about retirement because, Anupam, if you think about it, retirement is the only financial goal in life for which you don't get a loan. If you think about buying a house, buying a car, sending your kids abroad for education, getting them married, starting a business, you can get a loan for it. The one financial goal for which you don't get a loan is retirement. That you've got to do yourself. So we said, let's look at the attitudes towards retirement. Let's look at the concerns, anxieties, questions that people have. And we did this with Nielsen, which is a global leader as far as research is concerned. We covered about 3,100 plus people. So very, very representative of the topic. We covered 8 metros and 7 other metros as well, mini metros as well. So in a sense, you could say this is more urban outlook to retirement as far as India is concerned. And we intend to sort of continue this over the years as well so that we can see a trend. So very representative. The context was that this is a very, very important goal for everybody. However, it always gets pushed into the background. So we said, let's go and find out a little bit about it.
Fantastic. So let's start with a priority because I've had a look at the report and I hope that it's there on a website so all of us can access it or at least the key findings. So just walk us through the priorities, right? I mean, the survey starts with what you call the financial priorities of India. There's a long list out there. Let's start with that and what are your views on that?
So what we have found out as far as financial priorities is concerned was not very surprising, honestly, which is that children's needs, children's security, security of spouse, things like that are top of mind and the number one priorities for people. But there's been a bit of a shift. Nielsen, our partner, had already done another survey in 2017, usage and attitude survey with the same kind of consumer set. And one of the things that we found there is things like financial security was going a little lower down in priority, and new ones had begun to pop up in the financial priorities for Indians, namely things like being fit, leading a peaceful life, or improving lifestyle. So I think there's an orientation towards current expenses more than thinking about long-term ones. Retirement, obviously, came eighth in the order of priorities for Indians as far as this aspect is concerned, Anubhav.
Very interesting. You know, so it seems that you're pointing towards a quality of life also now, that the element of being fit, leading a peaceful life. Very interesting. Okay. Aspirations. Okay. I want you to tell us what your survey found and why is money important to us? I mean, it seems to be a very basic question, but you know, there is a lot of stuff happening out there. You've actually compared, I think, 2017 and 2019. So, right. Talk to us about
it. So, the one aspect as an insight that did come through in this survey, Anupam, was that people do not like to plan for unhappy outcomes. People like to plan just for happy outcomes. So, when you think about children's education, their marriage, you know, all of those things are happy outcomes. Or they like to plan for things which are very, very known eventualities if they are negative. For instance, medical emergencies. But if they are morbid ones, things that are too out in the future and they are negative, you don't even want to plan or even talk about it. Retirement has fallen into that category of something which is a morbid, you know, known eventuality in the future. A lot of people associated to saying that, listen, my health might be weak. I might be bounced around in my children's homes, just taking care of grandkids and who knows what, no power, no responsibility and things like that. And so one good aspect about, one good insight that came out of the survey is that people like to plan for happy outcomes. And maybe for us, the lesson in this, Anupam, that I'm taking out from here is that we might have to change the conversations around the word retirement. And we believe that financial freedom is a better way to approach and think about it for people at large. Think about it as financial freedom that you want. Freedom from income from your primary source, whatever that might be. And then leaving you free to do what you really want to do in life. In that, in fact, also came up in some of the data for the survey, Anupam, which is that while 51% of Indians in the survey said that they do not have a retirement plan, 55% of those people said, we don't want a retirement plan. We are happy and we're going to work forever. And these came from business people and professionals, and I'm sure much of the younger audiences as well.
That's very interesting, because what you're essentially saying is that you expect to be working forever, and therefore you don't need retirement because you, maybe, who knows, maybe that's a good thing. You know, a lot of people would want to have a very long working age, but I don't know. I hope they do.
Right.
You're right, Ajit. In the US, I believe they already call this FIRE. But I think the trend is also catching on here in India, which is financially independent, retire early. Okay, so it's interesting how both there is an element of both people who want to just get all their monetary needs sorted so they can enjoy other things in life, like you said. And then there are people who say that I don't want to retire because I want to keep working.
Correct.
Which now gets me to one very interesting aspect that I've always found, you know, in my conversations with people, is that, hey, where do I have money to put for retirement? You know, I would say that on a per capita GDP is still about $200. So it's not exactly somewhere where, you know, people would have that kind of money to set aside specifically for retirement. And yet, we know how savings has worked in India. You know, there was a time when we used to be, I think RBI, if I remember RBI data, historically, we had a very high savings to investment ratio.
Very true.
Probably about 35% plus, and that now has gradually fallen for whatever reason. Economic growth, et cetera, et cetera. The issue always has been that we might be a great savings country. But the quality of our savings and where we put, where we choose to put them was another story altogether. I want your perspective. Because you've got a very interesting chart out here on income allocation of Indians, which is essentially just saying how people spend our money, because our, you know, what we spend comes from our income. So tell us these broad areas where we spend our money.
Right. So, before I go there, Anupam, I think the other very interesting insight that has come out of this survey is that something like retirement is connected to, and planning for retirement is connected to income and not to age. That's a big one, I think, as an insight. And what it's basically saying is that in the lower income groups, and I might just want to tell our listeners that the average income of the people that we surveyed was about 5.5 lakhs, right? And why we did that is because, that's the bulk of Indians out there and whom we probably also need to help. And we find different attitudes there. The lower the income, the more people wanted to just focus on returns that they get. And therefore, they're probably going into directions where they can get those returns and think about financial security. The higher the income slabs are, people are thinking about creating alternate sources of income, leveraging their hobbies and skills, and also planning for the long term. So that's one aspect of it. The question that you asked in terms of how our
income... Hold that thought there. I want to explore this a little bit more. It's a little bit... I don't know, maybe counterintuitive. So what you're saying is that people tend to plan for their retirement as they grow richer and not as they grow older. Would I be right in assuming that?
You are absolutely right, Anupam. Income levels determine the propensity to plan for longer term goals like retirement. I'll touch other aspects later, but you're basically right.
Okay. Yeah, let's go to the...
Sure. And just coming to the income allocation for Indians, you're right. You mentioned a little earlier that we know that, savings in India has been dropping. Household savings have dropped from about 23.6% to about 17.2%. When you look at net savings, it's even worse. I did read some RBI data during this COVID crisis to say that many Indians are actually paying up on their debts and loans. And so that's a good thing, but savings is still a bit stressed. So from the income allocation that we saw in our survey, about 59% of that is going towards expenses. And there's a propensity for more and more of that money going towards expenses, lesser towards savings and investments. So if you took 59 or 60% towards expenses that include your EMIs or rents, your loans, your other household expenses, and about 17% being put aside for savings. The rest goes into things like insurance, which I think has got a little better penetration, and people think about risks, as I mentioned earlier, the morbid ones, which you can sort of plan for. That's where the rest of the spends are going in the income. So that's the broad overview we have currently in terms of the allocation of income for Indians.
So I'm going to just walk this through for our listeners because I have the chart right here in front of me. So what we're saying, folks, is that if you earn 100 rupees, you're going to spend 60 rupees straight away. Okay, straight away. That just goes out of your pocket. And out of that 60, here's a breakup. 35 rupees goes for household expenses, 7% for EMIs, 7% for rent. I like that. It's very interesting. What you're saying is that we spend the same amount of money on EMI, 7% of our income, or rent, 7% of our income. And then there is another EMI, which is loans and liabilities and stuff like that. So that takes, so that's about 60, that 60 rupees of your income gone towards this. And then out of the balance, what Ajit and what the PGM survey says, that 17 rupees goes into proper savings. Okay. I'll ask Ajit about what exactly that is. 11 rupees goes into investment and 13 rupees, that's really, it's an interesting chunk, goes into insurance payment. That's life insurance, general insurance, health insurance, and stuff like that. Ajit, any thoughts out here? What's the most striking part here for you?
So, if you were to ask me, Anupam, I think that the ratios still seem okay from a household perspective when you think about the fact that, 60% is all your expenses, rents, EMIs, and you have the balance 40% if you keep insurance aside, which is very critical for protection, then you've got 17% of savings and 11% of investments. I'd probably go back to something that you mentioned a little earlier, Anupam, which is that, we don't really know whether that savings and investments is really appropriate in terms of what people are doing. our survey actually says that a lot of that is, you know, just going into fixed deposits, or then it is, you know, going into things like post office savings, which is what most people tend to be, you know, looking at. I guess that whole attitude of getting some bit of guaranteed returns on your savings is still a big overhang. And I'll connect this to back to one very, very important point that a lot of experts talk about, and our survey pointed out as well. 90% of the people we surveyed do not take inflation into consideration when they're thinking about how much to save and invest for their future goals. And that's a very, very important one, because that's where most people trip up.
Very interesting, Ajit. It's really interesting. So folks, that's a wrap on this first part of our the retirement readiness special with PGIM India Mutual Fund. My guest, Ajit Menon, CEO at PGIM Mutual Fund. When we come back, we're going to talk about actual solutions, okay? Because we've spoken a lot about what the data says, what the trends are, how stuff is looking. And I hope that that you can relate to this, guys, because we're talking about you. If you're a salaried employee, we've spoken so much about retirement priorities, income and expenditure patterns. So I hope that this is fitting your current situation. On the other side of this break, now we're going to come back and tell you about solutions. There's stuff that we need to correct, small stuff on your personal finance front that can make a tremendous difference. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to this episode of Paisa Vaisa, the Retirement Readiness Survey. My guest, Ajit Menon, CEO, PGIM Mutual Fund India. Ajit, so we spoke a lot about the problems, right? So now let's talk about the solutions. What actually should be the correct way to look at retirement?
So one of the things, Anupam, that we did find in our survey amongst the 51% or people who said they didn't have a retirement plan is a very large percentage of those people didn't plan for retirement because they didn't know what their retirement number should be. They didn't just know how to calculate that number. And I think that the best way to think about retirement, and I think all experts have spoken about the simple ones, that is, you know, start early and let the compounding effect, you know, work for you. And the second is that I think very important is take care of inflation. We ended our first half by saying that a lot of people do not consider inflation while thinking about what is the coppers that they need for their retirement that they need to plan to. I would think that, you know, cutting out all the jargon, trying to simplify it a lot and say that you need to plan for 30 times your annual expense as your retirement corpus, 30 times your annual expense at the age you intend to retire as your corpus. So let's just take an example, you know, a 30-year-old person today planning for retirement at 60, wanting to hang up his or her boots at 60. Today, let's assume that that person is spending something like, say, 50,000 rupees a month. That's about 6 lakh rupees a year. Now, a lot of people in our survey who were, you know, in that kind of bracket said, oh, 50 lakh agar hua. But, you know, if you get 50 lakhs, that should be good for our corpus. And that is wrong because the effect of inflation that's going to have on your expenses as years go by. A simple thumb rule to think about when you're planning your corpus is that just think about the fact that your expenses are probably going to double every 10 years. So then you can start thinking about what that corpus is by the time you retire. So that's one simple way that you should be thinking about the number. And I think that's the critical first step, Anupam, that I would request anybody to do. There are enough calculators online, even on our website, pgimindiamf.com or other websites. I think get aware about this, get doing something about it, and fix your retirement number. And then you can start working backwards and planning for it.
Very interesting. So when we look at asset allocation for retirement,
yes,
what way to look at it?
The way that you know, I would look at it is that, you know, to obviously asset allocation means that wherever, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. The more spread out you are in your assets, the better it is, because you know, that will help you have lower downside and you know, capture as much of the upside as possible if you're well diversified. So an asset allocation that I would recommend from a retirement perspective to think about, and again, I will take a thumb rule. The thumb rule is that whatever is your age, and you want to think about doing an asset allocation between, let's say, assets like equity, which can beat inflation, and fixed income, which could be your fixed deposits or bonds and debentures and things like that, then you know, 100 minus age is a great thumb rule to think about when you are making your asset allocation. So if you're a 30-year-old, what this means is that 100 minus 30, 70% of your savings can go to things like equity, which might have risk. Why 70% for a 30-year-old? Because you have a long time ahead of you to ride out the volatility in some of this. But if you're a 60-year-old, 100 minus 60, you should have only about 40% of your savings in investments like equity. The rest should be in safer asset classes. So the 100 minus age thumb rule, Anupam, can be something that people can simply pick up to think about it. I do believe that inflation that you might have in your household, if you have elders at home, children who might be going abroad for studies, medical emergencies, could be very different for different people. And I would always advise to talk to a trusted advisor to get your specific needs done. But otherwise, you can use these thumb rules to get to where you want to on your asset allocation.
Wow. It's a sea change, right? I mean, you know, I remember one or two generations ago when the entire thing was all about buying your own house and probably purchasing some gold and stashing that up somewhere and not really caring much about inflation. Right. So now we're talking about inflation and there's a sea change. I want to ask you a follow-up here, Ajit, the advisor angle.
Right.
Some time ago I had asked on my Twitter profile that as to why, what's stopping people from getting good advice, because that's the reason why this podcast was set up also to some extent, and we are now at 250 episodes plus, probably this is our fourth year running, trying to just help people in the direction. Any kind of direction that you can give our listeners out here on the quality of good advice? I mean, where can they get it? Any questions they should be asking? Anything at all? I mean, you are the manufacturer of the product, so you would know the best way to sell it and how it should be sold. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so there are two things, Anupam, that people need to keep in mind. There are two licenses that are given by regulators in India for financial products when it comes to the capital markets, and that's SEBI here. So you could be a mutual fund distributor or you could be a registered investment advisor. The requirements for a registered investment advisor is far more strict in terms of qualifications, net worth, and those kind of things. The registered investment advisors will do full-fledged financial planning for individuals for a fee. And they will not have any commissions that will go to them on the products that they sell. On the other hand, mutual fund distributors, you could think of, can give you all kinds of products that might, based on your suitability and risk profile, can work for you. It doesn't really matter as an individual where you're going. If you really want full-fledged financial planning, ready to pay a fee, go for RIAs, the Registered Investment Advisors. You can find them on the website of SEBI and you could, interview a few of them to figure out who suits you. On the other hand, you could probably be in touch with any mutual fund distributor who also, I believe, can help you with this aspect. The questions I would think that you should be asking there is the person's experience in terms of number of years and families that they have been helping, because they have a good sense, like a doctor with a lot of experience, as to what is exactly suitable for you. And do have discussions around the kind of risk that you would want to take or not want to take and the products that might be appropriate for you. Ask questions about how diversified is the sort of solution that they're presenting to you. I think that could be a good first step. Think of an RIA or think of an MFD. Ask a few good questions about risk and diversification and the process that they follow when giving you the products that they're choosing for your requirement. And for mutual fund distributors, you can find the entire list on AMFI, the Association of Mutual Funds of India. Their website gives you a full list of mutual fund distributors across the country, and you could get in touch with them. Of course, a lot of people just look at references from friends and family. That will work as well, as long as you had a great experience with a trusted advisor. But having an advisor, I would say, is important.
Always. And that's, in fact, that leads me to the last question that we have out here, that let's hope that you have an advisor, but any which way, how should listeners really start the process of planning for retirement? I mean, what really are the takeaways out here from the survey? What are the key messages? How can listeners benefit from that? How can they start the process for planning for retirement?
Some basic aspects, Anupam, that we had touched on earlier as well. And I follow Morgan Housel, for instance, who keeps things extremely simple when he talks about finance. And this is an easy way to think about it. First step, spend less than you earn. Second step, save the difference. Third step, put that saving into a diversified portfolio with the help of a trusted advisor. And fourth step, have patience. That is the quick, easy four steps that you should do. The most important one, the first one, which is spend less than you earn, is something to focus on. As our survey says, it's getting more and more difficult for people as they focus more on expenses. And the last one, having patience, is also an extremely important one for you to do. In fact, one very important aspect of our survey, Anupam, that came out is that 88% of employees said that if they get help from their employers, that will definitely motivate them for planning for their retirement. And 65% of those people said if they got that help on planning for their retirement and their finances, they would be loyal to their company. So I would think that if you're an employee, maybe check with your HR departments to say, hey, why don't you set up something for us in terms of understanding this a little better? And there are many people who could do that for you. They can get in touch with anybody in terms of advisors or manufacturing, mutual funds like us to do that. And so I would say that as well is good. First step, of course, is I would say seek and understand what is the number that you require for retirement. Use a couple of those simple thumb rules we spoke about. And I think you would be good to go.
Just one question. It's very interesting that you mentioned that the employer should take an active role on retirement planning. I mean, he already does that for insurance, because typically when you join, when you join a job, you get some amount of health insurance from your employer. But there's also PPF, right? Assuming that there's a large 10% of my salary that goes into PPF, which is matched by the contribution from the employer. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think that's a fantastic step that we all as employees have. There have been trends that I've heard about, not something that we've picked up in our survey, that many, many young employees tend to tell employers that, listen, don't deduct PFs, don't deduct anything, just give me all the money in hand. And because they're focusing on the fact that, listen, they like their spends, they are very confident about their skills, that they will have multiple skills to see them through the rest of their life in multiple careers as well. A little dangerous as a trend, because I think though right now India's dependency ratio is low, we will also be an older nation as we go ahead. And really, from the perspective of India, if we look currently at Europe, other developed markets, China, countries like Japan, aging can affect a whole country very, very deeply over long periods of time. So this is perfect as a time for us Indians to sort of make sure that we age well and that we are fully prepared for our long life, that medicine and medical advancements are something that is helping us do as well. So I think that you're right that employers do a lot about insurance and PF. Stick to it. And that at least forces you into a discipline of saving. Ultimately, saving and investment is about discipline. It's about habit. It's about being smart of having a trusted advisor, for instance. And that discipline, because it's all so behavioral and psychological, since it's money, is what will see you through.
Are you serious right now? I mean, people say that don't deduct PF from my salary. I thought that's legal, right? You can't mess around. Guys, head explode again. Okay, guys, listen. PF, just look at it as, man, come on. Number one, this is sovereign guarantee. Is it Indian government standing behind saying that you will get the interest rate that has been promised on that provident fund that you're putting aside? Why would you not want to do that? Do you guys understand what a sovereign guarantee is? Please look it up. That's the first thing. Second thing is, it's high. What? I mean, even though interest rates have gone down, I think it's what, Ajit? It's what, 7% now?
Yeah, it's about 7.25% or so, if I'm not mistaken.
7% sovereign guaranteed money interest, interest has been paid by the government to you on a long-term product. You start at 25, Ajit, you'd go on what? At least 35, 30 years, let's say, you'd have a working career of about 30, 35 years.
That's right. That's right.
You look at the corpus you're building up, guys, out there, which is again compounded interest per year. You assume that a 7% even falls to 5%, you know, because interest rates are falling down and all that kind of is happening. But why wouldn't you want to put your money into a PF fund? I don't have a full-time job, but I do the voluntary. What's your view on this? Yeah, Ajit, what do you think?
You know, there are many things connected over here, Anupam. If you look at a lot of financial experts out there, they will tell you that India has a wage problem. And that means that wages haven't risen in many, many years. So people are finding it very difficult to really just take care of their daily expenses. And of course, on top of it is this aspiration because of social media, technology, and the exposure you have to living a good life. And this feeling that you will live forever and, you know, medical science is always there to help you and you can be multi-skilled as a young individual. So one aspect is this whole wage crisis that you can think of because of which people are finding it, you know, difficult to save. On the other side, India is probably one of the first countries that is going to come up with some sort of a social security system that says not just for people in organized service industries or working life, but also for unorganized gig workers and the others, you should be putting some money aside for their PF and their EPFs and things like that, which is great, according to me, as a step, provided people utilize that, smartly. During this COVID crisis, the government came out and said that you could withdraw 75%, up to 75% of your PF if you have an emergency. Now, I don't want to, you know, say that you shouldn't do it because a lot of people have faced a lot of hardships during this COVID and, loss of jobs and things like that. So those PFs have come in handy. Imagine if you didn't have that corpus there at all during a time of crisis. So I think there are many issues here, but you are absolutely right. It is something which is, as I mentioned, behavioral. It is about discipline. Just imagine that you didn't earn that money and keep it aside, squirrel it away and let compounding work for it and live your life within the rest of it and try enhancing your skills for alternate sources of income, which was another big thing that came out of the survey. A lot of people who were actually prepared for retirement said that they have alternate sources of income, which came from their hobbies, skills, or their investments as such. Those who weren't prepared for retirement were ones who said they have no idea of alternate sources of income, even though a lot of people wanted to do it. So very interesting insights. And, you know, you're right. It's all about the discipline.
I could go on talking about this. But okay, guys, safety net. Okay, please. It's very important. All kinds of safety nets are important in your life, for yourself, for your parents, for your family. Insurance is one type of safety net. The premium that you're paying each and every year for your life or for your medical stuff, think of that as a safety net. There are, you know, retirement, as Ajit said, is still a relatively new concept in India, as in planning for it. So there are a lot of products there, even today, whether it's a provident fund, there's an NPS. I've done an entire episode, one other episode on the National Pension Scheme. You might want to check that out. A lot of that money is actually going into the equity markets. Hopefully, if equities, you know,
that's right.
If they solve their purpose of beating inflation, as you said, Ajit, many people are not factoring inflation. If equities do that, then great. I can go on this, Ajit, but thank you so much for your time. You've been really generous with us. I hope you come back and talk to us more about this very, very, very important.
And in fact, I want to sign off, Anupam, by giving you one more insight from the survey we got, which was very nice, which is that 89% of people who live in joint families along with their siblings and parents felt more financially secure, and only 64% of people in nuclear families felt financially secure. The point I'm trying to drive here is that, you know, in this COVID times, the other thing that we have been speaking about, you know, mental health and the financial security does affect your mental health quite a lot. Anxiousness about money does affect all of us. And many other surveys have said that a lot of people are get their productivity impacted negatively because of anxiousness on money. What the survey is saying is that hopefully if you have really strong connections with your family and extended family, it does give you a sense of financial security. So keep in touch with everybody in your family and extended family just to feel first less anxious about finances and then just keep to the discipline, as you said.
That is seriously good advice, man. I believe what you're saying. I live with my mother. I hear what you're saying. I just hope that this, I don't know, Rajit. You know, the two of us, sometimes I feel like we belong to some era, you know, maybe dinosaurs. But you're right. Scientific research now says that you need human connection. You need to be your family. This is not just two people talking idly, guys. There is research that shows that. So right. You might look at your social media. You might want to be, you know, ensconced in that screen of yours that is connecting you to thousands of people. Right. Believe me, there is out there. You know? The human touch, the physical connection. Ajit just spoke about how families matter, even on the financial side. So, folks, keep that in mind also. Family matter that, you know, I know that the nuclear family has been falling apart, blah, 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 for the last 20, 30 years. But there is something there that you might want to, you know, tell yourselves or talk about. Ajit, that's it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Folks, that is a wrap on this retirement readiness special on Paisa Paisa. My guest, Ajit Panin, CEO of PG Mutual Fund. We hope to have him back again. Ajit, is the survey on your website, or actually some findings if people want to know more about?
Yes. Of course, you can just download it, get to our website, download the stuff. It's okay. We have tweeted it. You can follow our handles.
Do that, guys. So, Ajit, thank you so much for doing this for our listeners.
My pleasure, Anupam. Thank you so much.
And listeners, if you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IBM network. You can listen to us on the IBM Podcast app or ibmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are IBM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. All the social media handles of PG Mutual Fund have been given in the description of this episode. You can find all the handles. Go and follow them, download the survey. And of course, if you want to reach me, I'm B50 on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening to Paisa Paisa.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.